Now, a one-week extension to a truce has been agreed, in principle, by Sudan's army chief and the leader of the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces. The announcement was made by South Sudan's foreign ministry. Fighting in the past few days has intensified in Omdurman and the neighbourhood of Bari. Rival sides have been battling for control of the presidential palace and Khartoum International Airport. Military airstrikes have also hit paramilitary positions to the north of the capital in Bari. More people continue to flee Sudan as the humanitarian situation worsens. Ibe Morgan reports from Khartoum.
This is the aftermath of an airstrike by Sudanese army fighter jets on supposed positions of the paramilitary Rapid Support Forces. Bahri has been the focus of fighting in recent days, with the two sides trying to gain full control of the city.
It's not just the airstrikes. Artillery strikes by the Rapid Support Forces also hit buildings in parts of Bahri. 3 weeks of fighting between the RSF and the Sudanese army killed hundreds of people and injured thousands of others. But there are parts of the capital that were relatively quiet on Tuesday.
A queue for bread in South Khartoum. Hungry people hoping to take advantage of a temporary ceasefire that's been extended by the two warring sides. Some have been waiting for many hours and worry they'll go home empty-handed.
I swear, I have been here since 3 a.m. So far, I have not been able to get one loaf of bread. My children have not eaten anything since yesterday, and today is almost gone.
The UN is warning the humanitarian crisis in Sudan is turning into what it calls a full-blown catastrophe, and millions are affected.
We are government employees, and our salaries have not been paid. Most of the people are now reprioritizing their needs. They're not even targeting 30% of their basic needs. We pray this crisis comes to an end and our country restores peace and security.
Fuel in the capital is in short supply. Most petrol stations are closed. The few that are open have long queues. There is relief for some who've been unable to access their savings for more than 2 weeks. The Central Bank of Sudan says most of its branches outside the capital have reopened. It's reassured savers that despite looting, their deposits are safe.
So far, we've not faced any problems. Clients are handling their accounts, cash is flowing, and people are buying and selling. The situation was difficult in the early days of the conflict, but now everything is back to normal.
But people trapped in the areas of Bahri and East Nile, north of the capital Khartoum, are bracing for more airstrikes and explosions. As the army and the Rapid Support Forces battle for control of Sudan at the expense of its people. Hiba Morgan, Al Jazeera, Khartoum.
From South Sudan's capital, Juba, Hara Matassa has more on that announcement of a 7-day extension to the truce.
South Sudan's Foreign Affairs Ministry released a statement saying that President Salva Kiir has spoken to warring sides in Sudan, and this is what was agreed in principle.
We asked that from 4th of May to 11th of May, that there should be a ceasefire observed by the two parties. He has talked to both of them, to General Burhan and to Himeti, and both of them agreed in principle. He also asked specifically for the two to name their representative for the talk, so that we have a free discussion, a free talk, because war cannot be ended unless people talk. So he has prevailed and appealed to them. He stressed that it is important that these 7 days, there's a need for General Burhan and Himeti to name the representative to the talk. The third one is a definite date that they should agree on the date that this particular talk will commence.
Some of the people leaving Sudan are coming here to neighboring South Sudan, thousands of them, and the humanitarian situation at the border is dire.
This conflict caught us with a surprise. And this is why when these people came in, we were unable to intervene on time because the number were very big. The number were very big. Even if we rush, we would have not actually been able to do sufficient work as we are now trying to do.
Most people arriving are from South Sudan. They'll probably end up staying with family and friends. Foreigners will work with their embassies to go back home. Those who have nowhere else to go will probably end up staying in camps for internally displaced people. Hara Matassa, Al Jazeera, Juba.
Well, the United Nations says more than 100,000 people have fled Sudan since heavy fighting broke out on April 15. Ahmed Idris reports from Gangur near the Chad-Sudan border, where thousands of refugees from the Darfur region have been arriving.
They keep coming any way they can. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees says an average of 100 people are registered here every day. All of them from Darfur, fleeing attacks from ethnic militias. Sulaiman Ibrahim Abdullah just arrived with his family at this informal camp of 4,000. Not minding that even residents of the capital aren't faring much better. All he cares about now is how and where his family finds food and shelter. Blind and helpless, Juma Kathir Suleiman arrived 5 days ago with his large family, hoping also to find food, shelter, and some peace. So far, he says, he's found none.
We have had no food and no clean water since we arrived here 5 days ago.
The elders at Gungur camp may be preoccupied with safety and welfare of the family. But for the young ones, any time is amusement time. From Tendalti to Gungur and other border communities, the mass migration to Chad is fueled by violence and threats of it from ethnic militias and rebel groups.
A weakened central government in Khartoum has given ethnic militias the opportunity to consolidate their positions, especially in regions like Darfur. And this is forcing thousands from minority tribes to flee across the border into Chad.
While some refugees want to go back home as soon as security improves, some say they plan to make their move to Chad permanent. The United Nations warns that the unfolding crisis in Sudan can plunge the entire region into a deeper crisis, something Chad government says it's taking seriously.
We've asked all security personnel and officials to be on alert and sensitize the civilian population too.
That is crucial for Chad, whose peace is also fragile. Ahmed Idris, Al Jazeera, Gungur, near the Chad-Sudan border.